I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KrisAnnHall.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. I am here with you today, as we are every Monday through Thursday, and then again on Saturday for a double dose with my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall, where we endeavor to bring to you current events the way you ought to hear them. Constitution, not propaganda. Fact, not fake. Truth, not political party agenda. And I think today is going to be like the poster child for our endeavor. We have two stories that we want to cover for you today, and I want to make sure we get to them. We have a headline that over 50% of Texans support more gun control. And we also have a question that I want to answer, that I answered for myself this morning. Can the president fire Jeff Sessions? And that's a big question. And here's the crazy thing. I did an internet search, and I found lots of people with answers. Lots of people with answers. But I didn't find anybody with the right answers. So we're going to give you the right answers today. And I hope that we will be able to accept these truths that we're handing you today, and we can get over whatever party problems, personality problems we might have in the meantime. How's that?
All right.
Tell us about this story you found, JC.
Which one?
The guns.
Oh, well, it's an AP story.
I mean, I actually did a search for the title or for the headline when you told me about it, and it seems to be something that was resurrected from back in June as well. So this is something that they're resurfacing, I guess.
Well, we're
pushing and pushing.
Yeah, it's election time, you know, so it's all about angling for the midterms. It's out of Katy, Texas, which is where my cousin lives, by the way.
Oh. But we've taught in Katy, Texas.
Oh, yeah, several times. But it says, some gun-toting Texans embrace Democrats' call for tougher firearm laws.
Yeah, the headlines that I saw were after the New Mexico shooting. After New Mexico, 54% of Texans support stricter gun laws.
Yeah, so apparently the article is written the 19th. It doesn't say when.
Written today?
It doesn't say we got, well, supposedly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It came over the wire.
Why do we know the 19th?
It's your birthday. Happy birthday.
It
now
is
everyone knows.
Today is my birthday.
But it seems connected. It actually seems with the interviews and the statements from Martin the Rancher, it seems to be connected to the church shooting last year,
mm-hmm.
where the 26 worshipers died.
Mm,
so I think that's probably when they did the interview. But they make it sound like now. But they say, you know, he's a lifelong Republican, has more than 20 firearms, and it says he's now considering the once unthinkable, voting for a Democrat Senate candidate who wants tougher gun laws. Of course, that's Beto O'Rourke that's running against Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
And
good luck with that one in Texas.
Yeah. So they have this one guy. That's really all they have. And then they just start talking about O'Rourke and just a lot of typical propaganda and trying to put this stuff out. You see this stuff every election.
So what's the real propaganda in here?
Well, the interesting thing is, Cruz says about O'Rourke that O'Rourke's completely out of step with the values of most Texans, banning some of the most popular firearms in America, or wants to ban. Now, I don't know if it's campaign manager or some pollster or something, but he says that saying O'Rourke wants to ban these weapons, right? That, okay, he just wants some restrictions, but then, or he says he wants these restrictions.
So O'Rourke's campaign manager is saying this, or somebody in his staff, right?
Who said it? Might be just some, you know, what do they call it? A independent source.
Oh yeah, some random.
So says that when you say O'Rourke wants these restrictions, and then the next thing you know, he wants to then take our weapons. He said that's over the top, slippery slope argument. Mm-hmm. You know, it's preposterous. So obviously we know slippery slope. In fact, we did the Art of the Argument class on LFU.
Yes.
We talked about
yes.
these fallacies of logic. But one thing I mentioned in the class was just because it's a fallacy of logic doesn't mean it's not true. It just means it
right.
doesn't arrive, you know, at the conclusion through proper reasoning. The,
right.
the problem with this is it's not slippery slope when you're dealing with liars who have already revealed their intent.
Right, so you're using proper reason and logic when you're doing, because you're dealing with the experience. It's what Hamilton said, experience is the oracle of truth
yeah.
here. And so we're dealing with the experience
right.
of liars.
It's not you know, oh, O'Rourke says he wants these restrictions. Well, the next step, obviously, is to take your weapons. That's not the logic that's going on. It's
right.
O'Rourke says this, you know, just like all these other guys have said in this party. This is sort of the party's MO to say this, but then they've demonstrated by their actions, and then he's, you know, demonstrated by other statements that they want to confiscate weapons or certain weapons and
mm-hmm.
ban certain weapons. So we've already seen that. I mean, we and you've seen gun confiscation in,
mm-hmm.
I think, New York, gun confiscation in California, gun confiscation in Connecticut.
Yeah.
You've seen the Democratic senators. In fact, I think it's been several sessions running where they put forth this long list of over 200 weapons that they want to ban, you know, from various handguns to ARs. All these semi-automatic weapons to revolvers and
it's the frog in
magazines
the pot of water.
Yeah, so it's not slippery slope. It's what they've said they want to do. And then you've seen lately in the midst of these shootings, right, when they perceived that support was at its highest, then they started really being honest. And you saw all over the place, yes, we want to take your guns. So when they feel like they have strong support, they go ahead and say what they want to do.
Well, not only that, I mean, you see it actually happening in Florida. After the school shooting in Florida, the Republicans got together and removed the right to keep and bear arms from certain classes of people, specifically anybody under the age of 21, right? So if you get married in Florida, which you can legally do at the age of 18 without your parents' permission, the Republican Florida legislators have said you cannot protect your family or your home until you're 21.
Yeah.
And that's how this hysteria goes. And so then it becomes, now it's a matter of you have to be 21. And then they work with these gun restraining orders. Some people call them red flag laws, where we can remove your right to keep and bear arms with absolutely no due process. Now, this is not the way people look at this. This is not simply we're going to limit ARs, we're going to limit this. No, we're going to completely eliminate certain people's right to keep and bear arms without any due process at all. This is a total gun ban for some people.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing of how that could stand and how that could survive challenge, because that's the very reasoning, the legal reasoning, or the converse of that, was how they lowered the age to, what was it, age to join them? No, it was the other way around. They lowered, I don't know what it was, drinking age or voting age.
Voting
That's what
age.
It was. They lowered the voting age voting to age. 18. So it was 21. And the argument went, wait a minute. If these guys join the military at 18 and can be giving their life for this nation, but yet they can't vote, so then that was lowered. So it seems to me that would be the same logic. How could you make that difference?
Right.
One thing, and I understand that state, but that's not equal treatment under the law. I don't know if
every state constitution has a provision for equal treatment under the law.
So that doesn't, those things wouldn't seem to add up, and I don't see how that could be a valid law that could stand, you know, just on that point, not to mention, you know, infringement on your right to bear, right to keep and
bear
arms.
Well, I'll tell you how it stands, because we have a political judiciary and not a judicious judiciary.
Well, I mean, there are challenges right now, and I'm saying I don't see how the outcome could be in favor of Rick Scott and his gun-grabbing Republican allies. That's what I'm saying.
Wow, that's really going to chaff some people. They're gun-grabbing Republican allies.
Well, that's an observation of fact.
I know,
I mean,
it
that's,
is.
That's
absolutely
not a political statement.
No. But now we have Rick Scott running for senator, and so that's not a something.
So, right. So that's who the Republicans put forward. So that's who we have now running to challenge Bill Nelson. The Democrat gun-grabbing Bill Nelson is being challenged by gun-grabbing Republican Rick Scott and supported by his gun-grabbing allies in the state of Florida. I mean, that's just the way it is. So if Florida Republican voters, if you're that freaking stupid, then, you know, that's what you're going to get. So, you know, I would just say point blank, I will never vote for Rick Scott. I will not vote in that ticket, right? I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to vote for Bill Nelson, but I'm not voting for Rick Scott either.
No, because Rick Scott's gun-grabbing tendencies, his inclinations, were proved way before the Parkland incident.
Correct.
When he removed Sheriff Nicholas Finch from his office, unlawfully removed him from office because Sheriff Nicholas Finch was standing up for the right to keep and bear arms of his constituents there in Liberty County, Florida.
I don't know how the stuttering, bumbling, globalist, statist idiot got into office as governor in the first place.
Healthcare mogul. Let's put that in there.
But it's the same. It's apparently the same technique, platform, strategy, whatever. Because now he's supposed to be our senator. I mean, it's really nuts.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here with my husband and co-host JC Hall. We're talking about guns. We're talking about the right to keep and bear arms. And we're talking about how it seems to be a bipartisan move to be gun grabbing these days.
Yeah, but the worst Republicans come from Florida. Right? I mean, that's just the way it works.
You know,
works.
I have a theory about that, actually.
Really? It really drives me nuts.
I have a theory.
What's that?
I think my theory is the worst Republicans come from Florida. You know, you got Marco Rubio, right?
Rick Scott.
Adam Putnam, right? They come from Florida because in spite of how the media portrays Florida as a purple state, right, our state government has been Republican through and through for quite some time now. Republican House, Republican Senate, Republican Governor, Republican Cabinet, right?
Yeah.
And what happens is when you have that kind of consolidation of power in the party, there's no challenge.
But
there's no challenge at all. So you get people just simply because of their party affiliation, and you never get to see them be exposed. I believe that the challenge of party exposes the flaws.
Yeah. Well, it's by no means all Republicans in Florida, but we have some of the most statist, big government establishment Republicans. But the funny thing is they all run under the conservative banner. They all make themselves out to be these big-time conservatives. They are so stinking statist. It's just unreal.
No, we're not saying all. I mean, there are some really great Republicans here in Florida. As a matter of fact, I know several really great Democrats in Florida. Yeah. That's really going to chap some people.
I like Matt Gaetz. I think he's good. I'll start naming people and making people mad. But
Matt Gaetz is I wouldn't say he's the opposite, but he's nowhere near being his father. So that's what makes me happy about him.
Anyway, enough about Florida, but you know, the point is, this is an example of we've already seen the gun grabs and these people and their intent on the Democrat side. It's bled over into the Republican side because these people, the anti-gun lobby, has successfully used these massacres and these shootings and all these events. You know, never let a crisis go to waste. They play that strategy so well, man. They play it to the hilt. And
it's all about government power.
Yeah, and we have, and that's kind of what we've been fighting for so long, is trying to elect on the Republican side and the conservative side, to elect people that have a backbone and stop electing these wishy-washy, unprincipled people, because this is what happens. A crisis comes along, some kid dies, some grandma dies, or whatever, and they fold. They drop their principles and do exactly the opposite of what they say they stand for.
I want to ask you going back to that article about the Texas gun, the Texans wanting gun. Isn't there another fallacy of logic embedded in there? You have them making the statement, giving the impression that this is a majority, but they really only interviewed one guy.
Correct. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that's called a lie.
It's called a lie.
That's called deception.
It's not even a classified fallacy of logic.
Yeah,
it's
crazy.
Just a flat out lie.
Some gun-toting Texans embrace Democrats' call for tougher farm laws. You mean one guy that you found?
Yeah, so I want to wonder.
Some and one are not synonyms.
AP, their roving reporter, how long did they have to search the lands of Texas to find this guy?
apparently, who goes by the name Some.
Some, right?
Because he's not Some, he's one guy. So I guess that's a nickname.
Yeah, but then the other articles that I saw were 54%. But once again, that's misleading, because 54% is not 54% of Texans. It's 54% of the people polled according to the polling questions, which we all know are always geared in a leading way. And the segment of their population by geography or by demographics is never revealed. So you don't even know if 54% means 54% of people in Austin or 54% of people in, Katy, Texas, right? I mean, seriously, you cannot judge the constituency of Texas by the population of Austin. So these things, what is that? Statistics don't lie, but liars use statistics. Isn't that how that goes?
Right.
Well, when we get back, I want to talk about this. Can Donald Trump fire Jeff Sessions? And I believe that the answer may be a little strange to you.
As there again, men tear up our Constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution. Standing together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show, our daily journal, Monday through Thursday. This is still Constitution Week. This is Wednesday, Constitution Hump Day, and we still are bringing to you, as we do every week, every Monday through Thursday, every Saturday on a double dose, the constitutional perspective of what you're hearing in the news. You know, before we move on to this, I just want to mention what we covered last two segments, JC, is why local government is so important. Because our local governments have become a crucible for federal governments.
Yeah.
We're creating federal government we're creating federal government employees through our local governments, quite with the wrong kind of perspective, but nonetheless, so that's why you got to make sure you have constitutionally minded local government people so that when they move to the federal realm, you have a tried and true history of a truly constitutionally minded person. So here's the thing. This whole headline now, Trump rips into Jeff Sessions, I don't have an attorney general. He tweets on he tweets out that he needs to have an attorney general that he likes, that he doesn't think that he has an attorney general. It's very sad. And we know that he has not liked Jeff Sessions since very early on. And, you know, I just have to say, Mr. Trump, if you had listened to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Show, the Chris Ann Hall Show, you would have known that Jeff Sessions was a bad choice to begin with. But nonetheless, I'm not saying I told you so. So the question keeps popping up, can Donald Trump fire Jeff Sessions? And so I really began to think about this because I thought this question is not going to go away. Now, as I teach the students at Liberty First University, as I taught the students at the River School of Government, when you see a headline in current events and it has to deal with the president or Congress or the judiciary, the first source is not CNN. The first source is not Fox News. When you're trying to understand the power that has been delegated, that can properly be used by the president, Congress, or the judiciary, the first source is the Constitution. So I thought to myself, can the president fire Jeff Sessions, the attorney general? And I thought, well, if the president has the authority to fire the attorney general, that would have to be something that is listed in Article 2, because Article 2 is the power that is delegated to the president of the United States. Well, we know by Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1, that the president is the commander in chief, and he has these specific powers that are delegated to him. We also know by Article 1, Section 2, Clauses 2 and 3, that he has the power to nominate. Let me repeat that. He has the power to nominate these people, like Jeff Sessions, but it's actually the Senate that appoints them, that actually confirms them. So that really begins my thinking. So the president makes a suggestion, but the hiring actually comes by way of the Senate. So if the hiring, this is now I'm just following you through my line of thinking, if the hiring comes by the Senate, how can the president do the firing? Well, there is no authority in Article 2 anywhere for the president to fire Jeff Sessions. So I started thinking, because if you Google this, and you should do that, JC, because you'll see, if you Google this, can Donald Trump fire Jeff Sessions, everywhere you go, the answer is absolutely an unequivocal yes. And I thought to myself, how are these people so certain that Donald Trump can fire Jeff Sessions if it's not written anywhere in the Constitution? So where do you suppose I found the source of this unequivocal yes that Jeff Sessions can fire, or that Donald Trump can fire Jeff Sessions?
28 USC?
Nope.
Where?
It is a Supreme Court opinion called Myers v. United States. Myers v. United States says, according to that USC that you quoted, that the president can unequivocally fire any cabinet member. Okay? So this comes from a 1926 U.S. Supreme Court case, which says, now I don't know if the USC has been updated since 1926, I'm sure it has, but says unequivocally that Congress can give this, can take this authority, an invented authority, and give it to the president. Let me read to you this last line from Oliver Wendell Holmes in his separate opinion. This line in Justice Holmes' separate opinion just drives me nuts. Listen to what he says. The duty, this is a quote, the duty of the president to see that the laws be executed is a duty that does not go beyond the laws or require him to achieve more, this is the key, to achieve more than Congress sees fit to leave within his power. What does that say to you? That says to me that the limit of presidential power, according to Justice Holmes and the Supreme Court, is Congress. Congress is the limit to presidential power, not the Constitution itself. Now, when you go through this opinion, Myers v. United States, what you find out is that the president has fired the postmaster. And there's this whole question of, can the president fire the postmaster? He's a civil officer, and according to the Constitution, civil officers must be impeached. Well, now what we have is the Supreme Court saying that Congress can put within the power of the president to fire people, even though he is not the person who hires them. Remember, the president is not hiring these people. The president is merely suggesting them as employees. It's the Senate that's hiring them. And in this opinion, there's a dissenting opinion written by Justice McReynolds, which is absolutely stunning. Now, for you who are students at Liberty First University, you will see that he quotes Joseph Story. And I don't usually like to quote Joseph Story, because Joseph Story is part of the reason we have this judicial supremacy, this federal supremacist society. But what I want to point out is that even Joseph Story is opposed to the President of the United States having this power. So the very teaching source that brings us to a judicial supremacy, that brings us to a federal supremacy, says that for the president to exercise a power to fire leads us to a tyrannical king. This is what Story says on this situation. He says, indeed, it is utterly impossible not to feel that if this unlimited power of removal does exist, it may be made in the hands of a bold and designing man of high ambition and feeble principles, an instrument of the worst oppression and most vindictive vengeance. The president is not supposed to have the authority to fire people, because then that absolutely negates the check and balance of having the Senate confirm in the first place.
Yeah, that's a good point. If I'm reading this correctly, the USC 28, Section 541, paragraph C, each United States attorney is subject to removal by the president, that was added in 1966.
Yeah, right. So post this 1926 Supreme Court case. Listen to what Calhoun, now he goes back to this argument that I refer to, this period of history that I refer to quite a bit, begins with the Great Debate of 1830. It continues in through 1885. And Calhoun says this, hear what that sacred instrument says. Now look, Calhoun is going back to the Calhoun is going back to the source, the Constitution. He says, hear what that sacred instrument says. Congress shall have power to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution of foregoing powers, those granted to Congress itself, and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or office thereof. Mark the fullness of the expression, Congress shall have the power to make all laws. He goes on to say that we must have this check and balance. We cannot transfer a power that has been vested in Congress to the president, because the whole purpose was to limit the power of the president so he doesn't become a king. And what we have now is the Supreme Court in 1926 not only ignoring the Constitution, ignoring congressional intent, ignoring the precedent of argument in Congress, the direction of Congress, and the understanding of the Constitution, ignoring the current constitutional understanding and creating brand new precedent. See, the purpose of precedent is so that you don't have courts creating brand new law. And that's exactly what we have here. The courts are violating the separation of power that exists between the legislative and the executive branch.
So the answer to that question, can Donald Trump fire Jeff Sessions, is actually a little bit complex, because the answer would technically
the
practical answer of reflecting reality right now would be yes, he can. However, it's not a properly authorized power. It's not a proper authority. It's an illegal, unconstitutional authority.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. This is our last segment. And JC, I want to remark on your last statement as we were coming out of the break. It has to do with the definition of which word you choose. Can he do it?
Yes, he can.
Yes, he can. Should he do it? No.
Yes, he should.
Okay, should he?
Jeff Sessions should be fired.
Jeff Sessions should be fired.
But by Donald Trump?
But by Donald Trump, no.
No.
No, because the Constitution is very clear. It says the president and the vice president and all civil officers are to be impeached. That's the only way you can fire him, constitutionally speaking. The problem is that we are a post-constitutional government in Washington, D.C., where Congress invents power and then abdicates that power to the president, which goes contrary to the very things that our founders did to establish the limited power of the president. And I'm left to remember what James Madison said in 1800, when he said that if the power of the judiciary is raised above the authority of the states, he said the judiciary may not only exercise but sanction powers beyond the grant of the Constitution. And that's what we have now. Because we have developed this judicial supremacist society.
Yeah, and somebody on Instagram asked me, you know, can you make a list of these powers that have been abrogated in the last 15 years. It goes back so much further. You know, we've been operating on abrogated powers for so long. Congress has given away so much authority for so long. That's one of the reasons why people don't know how our government is supposed to function, nor why it's supposed to function that way.
Deliberate dumbing down.
Yeah, because they have, I mean, what is 1966? How many years is that of almost 80 years of, or 60 to 80 years of opposite example? I mean, over 100 years for some of these things. So, man, what a mess.
What a mess. Even Joseph's story, our standard of federal supremacy, judicial supremacy, or the beginning of it, says this. If the phrase executive power enfolds the one now claimed, meaning can the president fire his cabinet members, many others heretofore totally unsuspected may lie there awaiting future supposed necessity. And no human intelligence can define the field of the president's permissible activities. He says, quote, a masked battery of constructive powers would complete the destruction of liberty.
Well, I asked you the other day, you think we're headed for a king?
No, we already have one. We already have one. And that's not a condemnation of Donald Trump.
No, it's Congress.
It's a condemnation of Congress, and it's a condemnation of the American people who are satisfied with the condition of ill education and ignorance that they live in on how our government is supposed to work. Do you remember during the presidential election, I reviewed the presidential platforms of five candidates and compared their platforms with the Constitution. And these were Republican, Democrat, Green Party, Libertarian Party, and Independent. And not a single platform was constitutionally based. And the conclusion that I came to was that our platforms for our presidents are not unconstitutional because they want to be unconstitutional. They're unconstitutional because that's what the American people are asking the presidents to do. We're asking presidents to do things that they're not authorized to do by the Constitution, so they make promises they're not authorized to keep, and in the meantime, we expect them to keep them, which expands their power by mass opinion.
This also goes back to the 17th Amendment.
Yeah.
Right? Because that we don't control our representatives any longer.
Right.
We have no control over them.
No, and this is why constitutional education is so important. You might like Donald Trump, you might love Donald Trump, but just remember, Hillary Clinton may be your next president, and I guarantee you, in 2024, if Trump doesn't win in 2020, if Trump wins in 2020, in 2024, there will be a Democrat president. Do you want this Democrat president to have this kind of power? It's the big picture we got to look at. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
The blessings I received. Let me know.